Welcome to The People Show with Bik Nizar and Randeep Janda.
Welcome to The People Show. What's going on? Hope you're having a dry Thursday.
In Vancouver? No. If you're somewhere else, you might.
Best you can.
Maybe you're hiding.
Yeah.
Finding shelter.
Whatever you're doing, we appreciate you making us part of your day. Here on Sportsnet 650, Bik Nizar, Randeep Janda, also Jamie Dodd, fresh off of the Canucks Hour. You can always participate with us in the show. You guys always bring it, 650-650. In the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox, the smart alternative, visit Dunbar Lumber on Bridge Street in Ladner or Arbutus in Vancouver, online at dunbarlumber.com. Always appreciate your submissions. Wrong answers only, don't at me, whatever it is, it's all on the way. And we got a good wrong answers only today. I'm excited for it.
Oh, we got a really good one today. So, you know, sometimes you go into wrong answers only, you're saying, hey, this one's good.
Sometimes we know it's like it's halfway and you guys are going to carry it.
Yeah. Sometimes you know it's a double, not a home run. Today is a home run.
Today we stepped with the plate. We knew the pitch count.
We actually get hits on wrong answers only, unlike the Blue Jays right now.
Wow. That did not take long at all.
Do you need me to give an update on Arsenal Tottenham?
No.
Okay.
You can
stay
off of that.
Talk about changing the
subject. At least, you know how he's affected by my shots now that he's going to such levels of dragging my other team.
I don't know. If we're just going to take random out of context shots of people's favorite teams.
It was a relevant analogy till we were talking about wrong answers only. Relevant analogy.
Sports banter is so funny. Guys, let's talk about CP and CN Rail. That was great.
You would be such a CN Rail guy.
A peak.
Totally.
A peak sports move there by Jamie Todd. It's like, how do I take it off of me and put it back on him? That was great.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that.
It wasn't going well. I was excited for the match. I actually tuned in for it.
Yeah.
And you showed up to work, and as soon as you showed up, it started to go downhill.
Yeah, it's not going great. Arsenal down 3-0 to Tottenham. And down a man as well.
Don't forget that. Yeah. Also playing with 10 men.
Oh, I'm not forgetting at all.
It's not like the Blue Jays can play without a third baseman or something like that. They're down a man here. They have a full lineup and they're not hitting, man.
Exactly. They're losing with full lineups. At least we got that going for us.
All right. We got a lot to get into. We'll talk about that sort of stuff with Adnan Virk later on in the show. Always love talking to Adnan at 2:30 every Thursday. Shane O'Brien from the Missing Curfew podcast. Of course, former NHL player and your favorite Vancouver Canuck. At the 3 o'clock hour, Ken Priestley on Thursdays joins us at 3:30. Mr. Fix-It and two-time Cup champion, and also Vancouver Giants Game 4. We'll have Keith McCambridge, associate coach for your Vancouver Giants, coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. But plenty of time for you to chime in, 650-650, 604-280-0650 as well. We'll get into the playoff conversation. A lot of elimination games tonight. We'll get into that conversation as we go ahead. But let's start with Bruce Boudreau. The Vancouver Canucks head coach remains in limbo, and I guess yesterday maybe he clarified it a little bit. A report from Vancouver Hockey Now, Rob Simpson, Vancouver Canucks reporter, putting out a piece yesterday speaking to Gabby, and he did go and say, hey, I have a special relationship with these players in Vancouver, as I did with the guys in Washington on my first NHL job. I'm just taking a breather here, and the plan and desire is to come back. My dream now is to win as much as possible with the Vancouver Canucks. We started something special here, and I want to see it to fruition. There's obviously, just the thought on what's happening with the contract situation, and said there are a couple of minor details to work out, important minor details. This is Rob Simpson saying he's not waiting for any particular tactical reasons or leverage of any sort.
And when we talk about that, that usually means term, salary would be major details in this sort of scenario, right?
Like, things that impact your own life. Like, the contractual parts of the contract to me are major details. Job security, finances.
They're generally what negotiations are about. Those are major details. You're right. So, if not that, then what is a minor detail, right? It's the first thing that came into my mind, and an interesting conversation with Rob Simpson, and that was, you know, I think Bruce Boudreau in a lot of ways coming out and speaking when others have not spoken too much about it since. Jim Rutherford was pretty open in his conversation with the media. But beyond that, Bick, if what are those minor details if they're not salary and term? And the one thing I could just kind of brainstorming on my end was the makeup of the team, direction, player personnel. Is that a minor detail where you're saying, hey, yeah, I'd like a little bit more say in the direction? Like, this is pure speculation.
Sure.
But, you know, that's when you say minor details, we start thinking of, okay, what could these minor details be?
Now, he did say at his end of season press conference, I coach. That's my job.
They bring in guys.
They bring the guy. If I'm asked of opinions, I'll share my opinion. But as far as having vertical communication and I'm saying, hey, I need this, this, and this, he really kind of threw water on that idea.
For sure. But do you think that goes to a limit, though, right? What is the biggest talking point that we've had? The biggest talking point all year long has been JT Miller.
Mm-hmm.
It's been, do you bring in assets? I think that's a pretty noteworthy conversation you probably want to have with the powers that be to say, hey, yeah, what's going on here? If there's any player personnel discussion, and if that's a part of this, if, that's a big if. We don't know, Bick.
But is a 99-point player's presence a minor detail? It seems like a major detail.
Yeah, but that you wouldn't be holding up your contract because of that, though. That's not a major, you know, major issue when you're talking about a contract.
If management isn't sold on Boudreau enough to give him an extension, are they going to, involve him to that degree in those discussions where mm-hmm. he has a say on whether or not Jason Miller comes back? I don't think so, right? Like that. No, sorry, we're going to make those decisions. Yeah. You're going to coach.
Those decisions, the roster decisions, are independent of your status with the Vancouver Canucks. And mm-hmm. I just thought it was just odd timing. Nothing was really outlined. Like, Bruce Boudreau said that he wants to be back in Vancouver at his end-of-season press conference. And we're kind of waiting through this timeline here as we trend towards June 1st. And you'd like these things to get settled as soon as possible before June 1st. The deadline there is June 1st. But you'd like it to be settled and know what your succession plan is or just have stability in that environment before then. So it was really just odd timing. Now, he did say it. It's like, hey, I have a special relationship with those players. Just taking a break here. My plan is to come back.
Yeah.
So this might just end in a week's time here. And hey, I'm back. And next week, I'm here on my 1-year contract.
And another part of that, and part of this is also date. It's May 12th, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking about a situation that needs to be sorted before June 1st. But he did mention no real desires to pursue other opportunities at this point in time. So part of that is you can't really do anything till June 1st anyways. But couple of things there. I think when we're talking about this whole conversation, you know, Jim Rutherford in that press conference last week stuck to his guns. If this deal works out, let's just say if the minor details, whatever they may be, who knows what they are. The only person that really knows that is Bruce Boudreau and Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvin. But let's see if that works out. There's three benefits to this, right? You're keeping a good coach in Vancouver, which I think a lot of people recognize what Bruce Boudreau did. We saw that. We saw the effect that he had on the players, and you let him prove himself over a year, which is something that clearly is important to this regime, is clearly that, you know, sure you had success, but when we talk about playing a structured game, is there a longer shelf life with the way we play? And there's going to be some tweaks that need to be made. So that's something that I think is a one benefit. The other thing is keep your options open if it doesn't work. So to me, those minor details are, at this point in time, I think we're all pretty confident to say if Boudreau is willing to have this conversation with a reporter in this city, I know Jim Rutherford, Patrick Alvin don't like talking in media too much, but the fact that the coach is willing to say this, it does show you that maybe that uncertainty we had last week where you're saying, oh, is it going to happen or not? Like, a coach doesn't come out and say this when it's a huge question mark in the air. Like, this is a very optimistic opinion to have and share it with the public. So the question you have is, you know, those minor details, what are they, Vic? And that's why I look at it and say, you know, it is something that's really interesting. But also Bruce Boudreau talking to the media when Rutherford and Alvin very much don't work that way unless mm-hmm. it's a press conference. Interesting tactic.
Is there an element of maybe Bruce overplaying his hand here? Because it's not that he really ramped up the pressure, because the hammer's on Patrick Helvin and Jim Rutherford's side here. Now, the court of public opinion, Bruce has a big following there. And we get these texts in all the time. It's how they've not signed Boudreaux. Like, even when we're not talking about Boudreaux. Like, yesterday, we got text during the show. Hey, is there any update on the Boudreaux thing? It's like, well, not really. And even this, it's nice to hear from Bruce, but it's not really a confirmation of, oh, long-term deal is sorted out.
Yeah.
All this sort of stuff. Is there an element of overplaying your hand here? Because if you're trying to win a public negotiation, well, this is not really how Helvin and Rutherford have operated so far through 6 months on the job.
No, they don't. But let's go back to Bruce Boudreaux. His nickname is Gabby for a reason.
Sure.
Right? It's his full name is Nick Gabriel, folks. It's Bruce. Mm-hmm. Gabby, because he does have that talkative personality. He's an individual that lets people know how he feels. So I don't even know if it's that deep of a conversation. I don't even know if it's a leverage play. To me, this is a guy that's just saying, yeah, hey, I'm being honest. I've been honest with pretty much everybody since I've gotten to town, and I have been my whole career. So I don't know if there's any tact involved here. I'll be honest. I think it's more, hey, this is where it's at.
Bruce being honest. Which is
totally fine with him, and it's a good trait to have. Mm-hmm. And he's just playing it straight up to say, hey, this is where it's at. This is not a game I'm playing. We just got some minor details to figure out.
A lot of text coming in here. Ryan in the road and JFID. One of the smaller details being the coaching staff. And I'm sure that's an element of this conversation as well. He only really brought in Scott Walker. Is there more changes that he wants to make and bring in more of his own people? It would be interesting to see that happen. You know, Bradshaw had a lot of success here at the tail end of the season, when really thrust into a position to have a bit more influence. He had a lot of success, and I think fans recognize that as well, that while Boudreaux got the chance, there were a lot of people that text in through the course of the season, really impressed with the job that some of the coaching staff had done, Bradshaw being one, and obviously Ian Clark being another one, and really the entire goaltending department. They hold some sway in the court of public opinion as well, and if minor details are coaching staff, I think there's some people that would be open to inclusions. I don't know if there's people that would be open to exclusions as far as fans go.
Yeah, I think where, you know, you look at some of the individuals you just mentioned that Bradshaw has, especially in the second half of the year, really showing what he can do. Scott Walker, you feel bad for him because he did have, you know, the whole, you know, struggles with vertigo at the certain part of the season. So to me, you know, and that's a Bruce Boudreaux guy. But you do wonder if that could be one of the minor details. I definitely think so. You look at some of the individuals that Boudreaux's had on his staff going back a number of years. There are some names that pop up, right? Like a Bob Woods, where he had him in Anaheim and in Minnesota. Minnesota still has him on staff, but those are definitely some questions. There's some individuals, the way that coaches work, yeah, these names pop up over time, where they like to work with certain individuals that can maybe fill some of those gaps that they might have. And Bruce Boudreaux has been fully, I think there's been if there's a knock on him and a perceived knock, it's, yeah, he's not an X's and O's guy. He's not that guy. But every staff, every coach brings in, you know, individuals that can fill that gap for them. So to me, you know, of course, any coach coming in, last year was different. You could bring one guy with you. His name is Scott Walker. You got it done. Going forward here, if you're a coach that wants to be assessed, and assessed for a full-time job for an extension, you're probably saying, all right, let me bring in maybe, you know, the guys that I can actually excel with this and provide some structure in my own way. And that's, you know, that could be a minor detail. I think it's a great point on the text line because, yeah, every coach wants to be in a position to succeed with, you know, having control of the situation and being able to bring in the people that they want.
Share your thoughts, 650-650 into the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox and also 604-280-0650. It is the People Show. We always love hearing from the people. Bobby in Vancouver. What's going on, Bobby?
Hey, guys. Two things, if I may. The first thing being Boudreaux. He's a great regular season coach, but when it comes to the playoffs, correct me if I'm wrong, he's proven that he's a perennial loser with Washington, Anaheim, and Minnesota. I think he may have gone to the first, second round quite a few times, but then crashed and burned a number of times, especially on game sevens, and it's to make it worse. And the second thing, if I may, just about the playoffs getting in versus not getting in, I would think any management or any owner would want to get in by virtue of the revenue from home game. But if it's the cost of giving up draft picks or top picks at the trade deadline and then crashing and burning in the first round, yeah, then no, that would be terrible. But if you're like the LA Kings, my team, and you're really playing with house money, haven't given up anything, then it doesn't matter if you make the playoffs and lose in the first round, because at least you're getting 2-3, which is great from an ownership's perspective. Thanks, guys.
That is Bobby in Vancouver. Thank you very much for the call. 604-280-0650. On the Boudreaux thing, playoff record. So he does have a sub-500 playoff record. Yep. And I don't believe there's a third-round trip in there as well. So, yeah, that's always been a part of the conversation. Now, what's interesting here is when he was brought in, it was just about, because the way the contract was structured and, hey, this is just about getting us through the end of the season, the playoff conversation wasn't really relevant.
No.
It was, hey, we need to evaluate what we have here. The start of the regular season had gone so poorly. If we're going to make big picture decisions, we actually need to know what we have here. And if we have some regular season success, okay, we'll understand a bit more. And they had regular season success. And if you want regular season success, Bruce Boudreaux is your guy. But ultimately, now that you get a new regime here, they get to have their imprint. This is always about how do we chart this towards the Stanley Cup. And if you want to, we didn't really have that playoff conversation about Bruce Boudreaux from December, January, February, March, April. But now it's relevant. Because this is part of the evaluation. Is this someone that you believe can trend you towards the Stanley Cup? And if I'm Patrick Alvin, I'm Jim Rutherford, I'm having that conversation. And the reality is that box hasn't really been checked.
No, it hasn't. And that's why he doesn't have an extension, right? It's a, hey, show me what you can do here on a larger sample size. And listen, that's going to be on his resume, but there have been coaches that over time, even in their later years, are able to prove the world wrong. That's a part of, you know, evolving, and it can happen at a later age as well. It happens rarely, you know, being able to climb that mountain and, you know, conquer your Everest at a later age, it's tougher. There's no question about that. But I think that's where you're talking about Jim Rutherford saying, if we're going to lock in with a guy, we want to make sure that we have a sample size. We have to understand where this is going and what the strong suits of this coach are and how players, you know, react to him. And surely, you know, we saw at the, when he came in, they reacted. But in the short term, it worked. Long term, I think long term, two things have to be answered. And the playoff thing is much further down the road for me.
And by the way, just to correct something, with Anaheim, he did make the third round.
Yes.
I forgot about that one.
So beyond that, and that would have been, I believe, in 2015, 2014.
Kessler, yeah, like
2014, 2015.
Kessler years, yeah.
Exactly. That would have been the Chicago series.
Mm-hmm.
But that's being said, still, what's the narrative on Bruce Boudreaux? It's, oh, he's outcoached in the playoffs. He was outcoached with Washington. He was outcoached with Anaheim. He was outcoached with Minnesota. So that is on his resume. But I think if you're the Canucks, you're not focusing on that right now. You're saying, all right, can you get the most out of this team? And can you get them to play a certain way? That's the most important thing. Playoff success to me, I think, is down the road where you're saying, of course, when you're considering extension,
mm-hmm.
that's what you're thinking of. You're not thinking about that right now.
604-280-0650, Mike in Victoria on the line. Mike, what's on your mind?
Hey, how's it going?
Always great, man.
I'm hoping that Boudreaux is back because, like I've always said, he's one of the best coaches the Canucks have had in Vancouver, so I want him here. But I also want to know what your thoughts are if he's not here on them going after Barry Trotz. He's another coach that in the past I wanted Vancouver to bring when he was available. And yeah, just want to know your thoughts on that. And Kuzmenko's coming to Vancouver. I'm calling it.
All right. Thanks a lot for the call and good shout out for a prediction there.
So
Andre Kuzmenko.
So we've talked about the Bruce Boudreaux thing before. Mm-hmm. We talked about it late last week, early this week. I forget. Days kind of.
Barry Trotz thing.
The Barry Trotz thing.
Yeah.
So to me, that link. I think if he's available, you make that call. But also, how much do you want to commit to paying long-term? That's a Jim Rutherford and a Francesco Aquilini call to make. So stylistically, you have to look at the team and say, can they thrive under that system? The other thing is, he's not going to cost less than $4 million per season. The man is making $4 million sitting on the sidelines. So you're going to have to hit that level. Now, the other thing is, I think with Bruce Boudreaux, you have an opportunity to tap into something that has been going well. So if you're, do you make that call? And I've said this before, Bick, I think I make the call. I want to see what that price range is, and I want to see what the expectations are. Barry Trotz is not in a situation where he's in his career where he's going to take a lateral step or a step back.
He's getting paid for another year.
He's getting paid for another year. Yeah. This guy wants to win. So I make that call. I'm just not sure it's a fit.
Now, in the context of, you know, to Mike's point, what if Bruce leaves? If you don't have a current coach, then yeah, go be aggressive. But, you know, we talked about this last week when the Trotz news came out. Was that last week or was that Monday?
That would have been Monday, I believe. I don't know. What I said, the days are just going by.
Playoff days are just blending together right now. When we talked about it on Monday, it was very much, if you have Bruce already, maybe you just stick with the incumbent. But if a situation develops where Bruce kind of plays your hand and you're kind of forced to make a decision here and he becomes a free agent, well, then if you have a vacancy, then you should absolutely pick up the call, the phone and call Barry Trotz. He's very, very qualified. Would it be necessarily the style of play I want to see here in Vancouver? Probably not, but that doesn't mean Barry Trotz can't adapt. Like Barry Trotz is a very capable head coach. Well, one of the premier head coaches in the NHL.
Washington could score.
Yeah.
The year that they won, they put up goals as well. It wasn't like they were playing an Islander style. So to your point about adaptability, the guy can definitely adapt.
Bick Nizar and Randy Janda, we did want to get to wrong answers only because we're excited about this one because we talked about these minor details. And some people, credit to the people in the People Show, Randy, some people already predicted what wrong answers only is going to be.
They're smart. People are smart. They're not like me and you, Bick.
No. So wrong answers only. Which minor details are holding up the Boudreaux contract?
All right,
text
I got
in, 650-650.
You got one?
You go ahead.
Okay. Wrong answers only. Which minor details are holding up the Boudreaux contract? Royalties on Bruce There It Is swag. Come on, man. Guy wants to see a cut of that. Can you imagine that? Saying, I want 5% of every sale.
10%?
5, 10. He might be underselling himself if he says 5. 10, 10 is right.
What if this is a situation, right? So some Bruce There It Is swag?
You won't give me more money, but I want my cut. I want my cut.
Got to make it on the back end.
I was going to say he wants points on the back end of the merch sale.
Exactly.
Points on the package? Is that what's happening here?
The price of the brick went up, boys.
This a shooter tutor Tyler, who predicted wrong answers only, minimum 2 golf games per week.
Okay.
He wants some course privileges.
I was going to say, he's not waiting to find out what happens with JT Miller. He's waiting to make sure that Juho Lamico is going to be back.
Hey, this is a guy that's representing Finland at the international level, Juho Lamico, boys.
If you want me back, you got to take care of Lammy first.
What's his name? He went from what's his name to Lammy.
To Lammy.
Marcus and Gibson's minor detail, Bruce saying he wants the Larkshiners behind the home bench every home game.
Okay. Like it. This one.
Need your entourage there, man.
Exactly. Rolling 600 deep like the Wu-Tang Clan, Bruce Boudreaux. We got our wrong answers only. Jim Benning is lost and has been wandering around the office of Rogers Arena. Everyone is trying to get him to safety before they can finalize the contract. That's taking shots at Jim Benning.
What is happening here?
Come on.
Thomas in Surrey, I think. This one says wrong answers only. The small details of Bruce getting to pick his own entrance theme music.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
Oh, it's got to be the Stone Cold anthem, no?
You'd think.
Broken glass.
Broken glass everywhere.
That's a different song.
Can we read this one from Reg? Why don't you read the one from Reg? Because that's kind of up your...
Wait. Hold on.
Kind of up your alley there.
No, come on now.
That's in Randeep's wheelhouse.
Just because I've mentioned this fine sponsor of the station before doesn't mean it's necessarily in my wheelhouse. Reg, wrong answers only. He's waiting to see if they'll get that pass for the number 5 orange that he asked for.
He's waiting for more cameo bookings.
Vic acting like he's never been there before.
No, I haven't.
Wrong answers only.
That's
Ryan,
definitely a wrong answer.
Ryan on the road. He wants a spot in the Ring of Honor preemptively.
That's good. He wants a 24-karat gold belt.
Okay, I like that. He doesn't want one.
Maybe he wants the belt brought back.
And also, wasn't that his son's belt? He brought it from home.
Ooh.
So maybe he wants a team belt, an official team belt. We got Chet and Burnaby saying, wrong answers only, the severe lack of Haagen-Dazs shops in Rogers Arena. Maybe he likes ice cream.
Is there a severe lack of it?
Oh, no, I thought the availability was decent. Although we did see less of him in the media area this year.
Oh, that's right.
I think Chet might be onto something.
Hmm.
Trevor says Bruce is insisting on his hairstylist being relocated to Vancouver.
Come on.
It's tough. Vic's not here for that.
Come on.
Vic, can you just share your guy?
I was going to say, can you recommend somebody?
I can recommend a lot of people. Yeah.
Never mind. I'm just going to leave it.
No, go ahead. If it's a shot
we're talking on. Never mind. Trust me, it's better not to.
Chef Swagger. He wants a cool wet rag after every game.
And right after that, Reg came in with wrong answers only. He's waiting for diamonds on diamonds on diamonds. So we're checking off the bingo board here, fellas.
Let's go. This one. Richard, the goalie dad in Kits. He's waiting for limited edition Lego models of every NHL rink he was head coach of. Those Lego models are weirdly expensive.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to buy the Man United one for Old Trafford.
Lego is super expensive.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like $600. Yeah. Like, nope, not doing that. I'm not even a big Lego guy, but it looks so cool. It was like $600.
No, it's not like when we were kids, man. Stuff was all over the house. Really cheap. No. We got this one, wrong answers only, from Italia Guido. Finalization of which Italian restaurant he eats at free whenever he wants. Okay, if he's looking for free restaurant meals, I think he's with the right team.
I was going to say.
I think they're all right.
Seems very manageable.
I think
they can make that happen.
If I'm not mistaken, I think the Aquilini's own Chin Chin. So I think he's good on that front.
Booking Kevin Owens to announce the extension. That one from Nick. Strong one.
Okay, I like it.
Chad comes in with, he wants the WWE Network on their iPads on the bench. You know, if you're playing the same night as a pay-per-view, you want to be able to keep tabs on it?
Just imagine that. Rutherford and Elvin, like, we need to focus on structure and details, and Bruce Boudreau is behind the bench watching WrestleMania.
The collector dude, last detail for Bruce Boudreau, no more veggie pizzas for pregame, meat lovers only.
Is that a thing? There's got to be one or two vegetarians on the Canucks, no?
Tim and East Van, he wants his mom's cooking in the coach's room.
Okay.
No more sushi. Mama spaghetti.
Flying out Mama Boudreau to the West Coast. We got this one from Berman from Coquitlam. The permission to drop the F-bomb twice a season at least. I think he does more than that behind the scenes.
All right, good shouts. We'll bring Wrong Answers Only back. You guys are bringing it. We told you it was going to be a home run today. But we got to run to break here. We'll have more on the way. You're on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
This is the People's Show with Bick Nizar and Randeep Janda.
Welcome back to the show, Bick Nizar, Randeep Janda. Also here from Jamie Dodd, who's eating his cold leftovers right now.
Stir fry today.
Always on brand. Always on brand.
Man is an animal.
Don't open the microphone.
Don't talk while you're chewing.
This is the worst thing. We'll stall. Don't worry about it. We'll stall. He's waving his mouth as if it's like spicy.
It's delicious.
It's cold.
Some delicious cold beef stir fry whipped up by my lovely wife last night. It's fantastic.
No, I'm sure.
Can't beat it.
I'm sure it was great last night.
It's great right now.
You, sir, can't even discuss this anymore.
Yo, man, when you have a brand, stick to it.
This and some cough syrup goes down real smooth.
So, was that on air?
I actually don't think it was.
We got to provide some backstory.
An out of context one there, because I think that was off air.
We were talking about cough syrup for some reason yesterday, and Jamie professed his love for the taste of cough syrup. You actually like the taste of
it? Well, my example was...
It started with...
Dr. Pepper.
No, right? Those lozenges.
Oh,
you said
yeah.
You love the lozenges.
Yeah, the lozenges are
like,
yummy.
What is it, Cepacol?
Cepacol or whatever. Cepacol, I don't know, yeah.
And you said you love those, and we roasted you over that. And you said you also love cough syrup.
Yeah, well, my example was, a lot of people say Dr. Pepper tastes like cough syrup. I love Dr. Pepper. People are like, oh, it tastes like cough syrup. I'm like, yeah, right. That's why it's delicious. that's why it's so great.
This man is complicated. This man is so complicated.
Oh, man. I love how both of us were like, was that an off-air conversation?
Just that side eye. Whenever we get this stream going, whenever it happens, moments like this you will be able to see as well.
650, good thoughts coming in for Wrong Answers Only. A lot of people sent this one, and we'll read it here.
We're going to read it once.
We'll read it once, but a lot of different people sent it in. The wrong answers only was, which minor details are holding up the Bruce Boudreau contract? And if you send it in, congratulations. We're going to give you credit, but a lot of people texted it in. Bruce wants the Dallas fan behind the bench to get Canucks season tickets.
We're going to acknowledge you all at once. Yeah. That was the most common answer that rolled through. Yes. So there you go. We're giving you the spotlight for 5 minutes.
Hockey fans are so thirsty, man. Like, just, it's wild.
Hockey media and Charles Barkley are very thirsty as well. Man. Charles,
yeah.
Get yourself together. All right, this one.
We've read it, okay? We've read it for everyone that sent it in, okay?
Done.
We got it out of our systems.
Yes.
Wrong answers only. Permission to sleep in his office and keep his home address in Point Roberts to avoid Canadian taxes. Can you imagine?
Is there precedent for that?
Yeah, Murphy bed.
I know. Just say it. All right. He's waiting for password to return. That's a good one. Again, we'll break out wrong answers only.
You know what?
Again,
Bruce Boudreau strikes me as a guy that would love password. Just a fun-loving guy.
I think he would. You know, especially he's been around the game so long, he would have a very deep knowledge of different players. He would enjoy the clues. And, you know, oh, yeah, I remember when that guy played for, you know, the Baltimore Skipjacks in the AHL.
And remember, a lot of wrestling references on password. Bruce
That's
would
true.
Love that.
That's true.
Okay, if he comes back, because it's not confirmed, I think one day we're going to have to play password with Bruce Boudreau.
What we're going to have to do is when he signs the new deal, when he's officially back, arrange an interview, and yeah, we'll break out password and play it with Bruce Boudreau as one of the hosts and see what he thinks.
Somewhere Dan Riccio is having a temper tantrum right now. He is just losing it.
Good callback, though, on Baltimore Skipjacks.
Great team, man. I think one of my favorite jerseys.
Good pull. Big Nazar, Randy Janda here. So we didn't really get into the playoff conversation, what we saw last night. And also some games tonight. Really pivotal ones, obviously. 4 elimination games this evening. I'll pose it to you this way. Over, under, 2.5 eliminations tonight. Which side you taking? And now just to point it out for everyone, text in your answer. It's Carolina at Boston tonight. Carolina's got the series lead. Toronto at Tampa. Toronto's got the series lead. Minnesota at St. Louis. St. Louis has the series lead. And Edmonton at LA. LA with the 3-2 series lead.
Okay, I'm going with the under on this one. I think there's going to be a couple of game sevens. The one team for sure that loses tonight, I think it's going to be the Edmonton Oilers.
Ooh, okay.
I think they get dropped in LA. If you're looking at a team right now that has no confidence, they're doubting themselves. That doubt is creeping in. They've been outplayed 5-on-5, especially in that last game. You know, McDavid's comments after the game as well. Like, when we score 4 goals, we should win. Like, that's not exactly a confidence-filling conversation to be having. And you don't have Darnell Nurse. Like, to me, they're the one for sure. The one I'm not sure about, and I can't really pick whether they're willing to lose. I'm not sure. It's the Minnesota Wild. Normally, I'd say, hey, they've got it. Game 7, they're a strong team. I like them.
You're Minnesota Wild.
Yeah, I have them going to the Western Conference Final. Problem is, this Cam Talbot move, when you've already committed to Marc-Andre Fleury pretty much the entire series, even though Talbot was the better goalie heading into the playoffs, and now you make this move, Cam Talbot, if you look through his history, when he's got competition, historically, he doesn't play all that well. Historically. Some guys thrive under that. Some guys don't. So him coming into this game with this sort of situation where he was snubbed when he was playing really well, I don't know how he's going to react. So I'm still going under. I say 2 at most.
The Edmonton one, so they're doing their break glass in case of emergency scenario. We saw it in the third period. McDavid and Draisaitl start playing together a lot. Morning skate today, McDavid and Draisaitl together. And you look at the rest of the lineup, and it's like, oh, I don't know. But, again, this is what happens. Your elimination game, you throw your best punch. And it's probably the right move. They'll play 25, 26 minutes tonight. And they'll cycle them on different lines. But it looks like the Kings are going to get a lion's share of McDavid and Draisaitl tonight. I kind of think that works for them.
Yeah.
Because you know, the one interesting thing to do, and we're going to talk about this later on as well, but the one interesting thing is I do think Kopitar and Deneau can match up with McDavid and Draisaitl individually.
Yeah.
But if you supernova it and put it just together and say, hey, try to keep up with this. We know you'll win your matchup otherwise, elsewhere, against Nuge, but good luck trying to stop this one now.
That's a valid point because we haven't seen that. But, you know, you look at 5-on-5 prior to this, prior to this change, even the last game, 4-1 5-on-5 advantage LA. Level on high danger chances between both of these teams, right? So if Dan O can do a job...
Which even if LA was -5, -10, you'd still probably say that's a win.
Oh, sure. They're outscoring Edmonton 5-on-5. That's the most important point here. But they're even at chances as well, which tells you something. Now, if Dan O, who is, you know, the suppressor, if he can do a pretty good job against McDavid and Draisaitl, like, would we be shocked if he does, maybe he allows one goal when he's on the ice? Like, no, we wouldn't. He's one of the best right now at doing that. There's more coming from the rest of that lineup. Like, can Edmonton's, the rest of their lineup, can they offer anything? Can they win any of those battles, right? We looked at defensively, the way that LA plays, they're going to make you cough it up. They're going to make you make decisions that you don't want to make. Evander Kane, in that overtime, makes a bad pass. There's a giveaway. And what happens? McDavid's in a bad spot. Duncan Keith's in a bad spot. Game over. They will try to do that as much as possible. And here's the problem. When star players try to do too much, McDavid, Draisaitl feeling the pressure tonight, if it works, it works, Bick. If it doesn't, you're coughing up the puck in weird spots sometimes when you hang on to the puck too much. And that's why I think LA, they'll be ready for this, especially that Dan O line.
Good shouts in the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox right now. A lot of people taking the under. I'm not sure if people just want game sevens, but a lot of people are taking the under, and this one unsigned. Only Boston will be eliminated. How much of that is the Boston hate rising up again?
It's a strange night, though, isn't it? Boston, Edmonton, Toronto, three of the most hated teams in this market, all playing today. Two of them face elimination. One could slay their own dragon tonight. Like,
don't say that in relation to Toronto.
No, but for Toronto fans, that's
what
it's going
to be.
They got
to figure out their own hurdle.
No, I don't know what it's called. That'll be Joe Bowen with his Holy Mackinac reference. I don't know. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice after that one. I don't know what he's going to do, but they're going to find their own.
Yes.
Until then, we'll say they're, in quotation marks, slay the dragon.
All right, that's fair. Susan
geriatric line.
Susan texting in, zero eliminations tonight. Dan at Fort St. John, under for sure. All three teams on the brink are somehow favorites in their game.
I'm with Susan. I'm just trying to manifest zero eliminations tonight so we get four game sevens on Saturday. I'm just putting it out there.
And I'm with you, Jamie, for the most part. Just give me at least one so I can work Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday with one game seven, baby. If not two.
My head says Edmonton's going down for sure. I'm with you, Randeep, but my heart wants four game sevens on Saturday.
I'm worried for Boston. I'm a little worried for Minnesota. I don't know if Toronto's got it, man. I don't know. I'm a little worried for Edmonton, but I do think the McDavid Draisaitl thing together gets them over the finish line today. We'll see if it translates into game seven, if they have success in game seven. But Tampa Toronto is an interesting one.
0-7 since 2018 in clinching games. We're not even talking about like a different generation of team. We're talking about this generation. I didn't even talk about 2013, the last time, you know, before this core.
They haven't won a round since 04.
04, Vic. How long ago was that?
18 years ago.
I was in grade 12 graduating that year.
I just graduated.
I
was a punk adult thrust into the world.
Vic, I was strolling the halls of Killarney Secondary School, man. That's a long time ago. A long time ago, 2018, 2019, 2020 versus Columbus, where they were in that final game, didn't get the job done there. And last year against Montreal when they gave up a 3-1 lead. So with all of that, like their stars in Toronto played better than Tampa stars. But you know tonight, Hedman's going to be playing.
Superhuman.
He's going to play at his level. Kucherov needs to step up.
Yeah.
But they got last change in Tampa. And the last time Tampa had last change when they played at home, the stars were shut down there. Toronto stars. It's like Ilya Mikheyev and guys like that scored. It wasn't the stars. So I think that one's going game seven just based on history. And we haven't even mentioned Andrei Vasilevskiy yet. 16-0 coming off a loss in the playoffs.
I do want to talk about this later with Shane O'Brien. Just if the Toronto Maple Leafs get over the hurdle, what does that start to do for their mentality? Because we've spent all season long. It's like, well, they got to do it in the playoffs, and we don't believe them. Well, if they go win a round, does it immediately swing the pendulum to the other side to say, hey, now suddenly, look, they got a round. This is now a juggernaut. Now they got some confidence under them that they can win a round. And do people buy into the idea that they are mentally over their biggest hurdle and now it's a mentally strong team? And, hey, bring on Florida, who are having their own troubles right now. They had to do a feverish comeback yesterday, but they're having their own problems. Bring on Carolina. Bring on whoever is next. They suddenly become one of the marquee teams in the Eastern Conference.
They do, and Tampa is the toughest opposition I think they'll have, no question, because their style, when they're right, they can play that defensive lockdown style as well. But doesn't it feel like Tampa just looks tired? It feels like there's moments where they're not that championship-winning team. And a couple years of hockey and playing late into the playoffs, maybe that'll do that to you. Maybe having Braden Point, who's not 100%, and I'm sure there's other players on others' teams as well, but Point all year long has been pretty banged up. It just feels like they have it in moments. And this is a credit to Toronto as well. Toronto's maybe, played well.
Maybe they just know. Again, maybe they're so intelligent at this now. It's like, hey, we don't need to win 7 games. We only need to win 4.
I don't know, man. Like, that's a lot of respect we're giving a team. I think they just, in certain moments, they look like they're lacking a little gas.
But in their wins, they've been very good. And even the first period last game, they were really good. It wasn't as if it was just like, oh, they got some bounces to go their way. They clearly won those games.
Oh, yeah. They smacked
the superior team in those games.
So, going back to your original question of, like, if Toronto gets by Tampa tonight, let's just say they win tonight or on Game 7 if it happens on Saturday, are they up there as being one of the top two threats in the East, if not the top threat? I think if Carolina makes it through, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. Florida, we know they can score, but defending is still a question for that team. I think Florida-Toronto will be an unbelievable series because both of these teams have lapses where for 20 minutes they look like junk.
They want to hit the throttle all the time.
Yes, and sometimes that really it burns you, but they also have that quick strike ability. We saw that with Florida yesterday. We saw that with Toronto in the last game where no lead is going to be safe in a series like that. And to me, that's exciting. But as far as number one, I'd still probably lean Carolina. I think their overall game and how they can play a structured game, but play it with speed. Also, they have ratcheted up some of that physicality. I think Carolina, the longer this goes, might be the number one seed if they end up beating Boston.
Could finally be Rob Bryn Mawr's year. That'd be a massive one.
Shouts to Campbell River.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
BC Connection.
650-650 if you want to chime in. Over under 2.5 eliminations tonight. Continue that conversation. Dallas-Calgary last night. My Dallas Stars. I still hold the faith.
For 40 minutes, Bick was just like, it was such a dream scenario for you. You're like, this is the way hockey's supposed to be played. 16 shots total for both teams.
Look, I've never said that this is the way the hockey is supposed to be played. I say you guys, not specifically you guys, but everyone craps on the Dallas Stars for just playing hockey differently. It's like, oh, you're not supposed to play it this way. There's not one right way to play hockey.
No, there isn't. I just don't want to see it very often.
That's fine. But they're very good at their version of hockey. And it worked for 40 minutes. And then Calgary, it just shows, like, to the people's credit, it's like, why you don't play this way? If you make one mistake, and they made one mistake,
yeah.
Two defenders down low, Namestnikov probably can't let that pass go through his legs, and suddenly it's 1-1, and shortly thereafter, 2-1.
I think yesterday was an example of why, though.
It was kind of the series in a nutshell, that third period, or that
sure.
game. It was where Dallas played their game for 40 minutes. They couldn't pull away, but they played. They were significantly the better team through 40 minutes. And Calgary yet deserved to win that game because of how overwhelming they were in that third period.
They dictated the game for 40 minutes, and I'll give you that, right? Like, they got Calgary to play their style, but this is the thing that's dangerous about Calgary. Calgary showed yesterday, and they showed in game one, that they can win different ways. And, you know, generally, if this is a Dallas Stars team playing against Edmonton Oilers, this series is not even making it to 7 games. Dallas is basically pushing Edmonton to the outside because they don't have a structured game. They're going to make mistakes and Dallas jump all over them. Kind of what we're seeing in the LA series. Now, Calgary can keep it really structured, really disciplined from a defensive perspective, and they'll hang into that game. They're not going to make that many mistakes. They might give you one goal. They might give you two, but they're not going to make those three and four mistakes, which a team like Edmonton will do all the time. So yesterday was a huge win in the sense that Dallas did dictate the game. Dallas played their game. But Calgary hangs around, like game one, to pick up that one mistake, as you mentioned. Pick up that one moment. And that's what makes this team dangerous, because we haven't even seen them open it up in these playoffs. They can go shot for shot with some of the best offensive teams in the league, but they're showing us the defensive side of thing right now, which they're being forced to play. And that's why I think yesterday was more of a ringing endorsement about Calgary of, all right, you want to lock it up? You want to try to push us to the outside? You want to really minimize what we can do? We're going to persevere, and further down the lineup, we're going to get goals. That was big. It was not Johnny Gaudreau. It was not Matthew Tkachuk. It was Mangiapane and Backlund. And shouts to Trevor Lewis as well, who I thought was washed up 2 years ago. And the guy's been playing great in this series.
Mm-hmm.
He's been, you know, playing solid, solid hockey.
Vic Nizar and Randy Janda, before we're out, though, let's also touch on the Jacob Trouba moment as well. Suspension worthy to you? You know, I've said this before. I'm kind of at this point where any head contact, I'd rather just prefer 2 minutes. We got to try to do, like, even if it's incidental and accidental, just give it 2 minutes. It's severe, I know, but I'm very partial to protecting the head. And anything we can do to go towards that is better. And I know it's a bit of an accident. Trouba's stick kind of hits Crosby. You're supposed to be responsible for your stick. It causes Crosby to lower his head, and Trouba delivers a big blow to the head. I don't know if it's suspension worthy, though, but I wouldn't mind seeing this being a bigger conversation down the road. Just, hey, there's contact to the head, even incidental, 2 minutes.
Okay, I'm like you, and I don't like shots to the head. I hate seeing those injuries, and you know, we've talked about this mm-hmm. before. Both of us have had head injuries, so anytime a player like a Sidney Crosby gets another one, you're saying, man, coming back from this one's going to be tough because they get worse over time, even if it's been a couple of years. But in that moment, that was a fluke, man. That was a fluke. And mm-hmm. the whole penalty aspect, I'm not a fan of that because, as you know, quick moment, anything can happen. If that's Adam Fox instead of Jacob Trouba, we're probably not talking about it. Trouba comes with a reputation of laying dudes out. He did that a couple of times this year. Nathan MacKinnon, Jajad Kata. So there's automatically saying, oh, did this guy do it again? Did this guy go headhunting? Did he look for that? That was a fluke. That was in the moment. It was a quick play. You could also see, like, Sidney Crosby's kind of off balance as well, right? So if he's standing up a little bit straighter.
Well, he's off balance because his stick pokes
yeah,
him.
But it happens in a really quick second, though, right?
To me, high sticks, though.
To me, though.
I mean, you're responsible for your stick. If your stick influences
no,
another person's
worthy,
body.
I don't think that's worth a penalty. It's unfortunate. Nobody wants to see that happen to Sidney Crosby. But I'm not even thinking suspension.
Not having a hearing. So.
That's
not
NHL
really suspension, but yeah. So it's certainly just a point of conversation. A lot of people talking about that Jacob Trouba hit last night on Sidney Crosby, and you see the influence in the game. Crosby's not there. Rangers kind of wake up and they storm back and extend this series just a little bit more. So they'll have a chance to tomorrow. We'll do another over under for eliminations tomorrow on the People's Show. A lot more coming up though here on the People's Show. We'll talk to Keith McCambridge in just a. 15 minutes. He'll join us, Vancouver Giants associate coach.
On that note, Alistair in Clearwater saying, I don't know who's going to win in the NHL tonight, but you can lock in a Kamloops Blazers dub. We got some smack talk coming on the WHL from Clearwater close to Kamloops.
All right. Nevertheless, keep that energy. We'll see how it continues over the course of the series. We will have tickets to give away later on in the day at Don't At Me. But keep tuning in here. We'll have Keith McCambridge on the way. Play Now Sports. Bet on hockey like never before with Play Now Sports, your local BC sportsbook. If you go to playnow.com, Boston Bruins, 1.8 on the money line tonight versus Carolina. Those Toronto Maple Leafs, if you want the underdog, 2.2 on the road. The Blues, 1.9. It's an even one there. 1.9 for the Minnesota Wild as well. And the Oilers on the road, the favorites, 1.7. If you want to make a pick, playnow.com, no limit, play within it. Back in a moment here on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.